Remember this in prayer. Amen. I believe I'm just going to go ahead and try to preach this morning. I appreciate all the singing, and thank God for you. And I just encourage my heart this morning to hear God helping people, and that's a miracle of God. And I bless the Lord for that. And there's always two sides to something. There's two sides to a coin. There's a heads and a tails on a coin. And you know, when Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, he said there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. And there's always two ways to look at it. It looks like to me, I remember when my grandpa died. He died in July of 2002. And then my grandson was born, Levi, in August of 2002. And it looks like here one left and one came. And I think that's what Solomon was saying when he said there's a time to be born, there's a time to die, and there's another generation of people that rises. We have one space of time on this earth. Brethren, listen, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. There ain't no doubt about it. If you believe in God, believe in his word, and that's the only thing we know is what he said. And we know this morning that there is an eternal place. It's an eternal place. And, of course, the eternal place with God's heaven and the eternal place without God in damnation is hell. It is a fact. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is a believer and there is an unbeliever. It's just like that. You go through, there's Adam and there's the last Adam. Christ is the last Adam. He I told Brother Keith, Jesus came in this world as the God-man. And he done this. Thank God he came and done what man couldn't do. Adam was put in this world in the very image and likeness of God, but he was made perfect, but he sinned. And of course, I believe Lucifer, amen, in heaven, amen, I believe he was made perfect until what iniquity was found in him. And of course, God had to deal with that. God will deal with sin. God dealt with sin on the cross in his own son. He dealt with sin one time in his son Christ, and his son took the punishment for sin. God dealt with the sin of us. Amen. He took our sin. The sin that Christ died for was my sin and your sin. He was punished for that sin. God punished his own son for the sin of mankind. Amen. Listen, you cannot, brethren, listen, you cannot go to be with God unless you come through the sacrifice, unless you come to the Son, thank God that died for man. And listen this morning, there's a lot of religion in this day that try to work their way to God. They try to do good deeds. They go through religious formalities, and it's not that way. God never set it up that way in the New Testament church. I know that in the Old Testament that they had, my friend, a lot of different things that they did, offerings and burnt offerings and sacrifices, which was all appointing to the Son of God that would come into the world. It was not to be done. He done away with them things at the cross. Everything centered around Christ now. There's nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. No man can be saved, amen, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I look at this morning, I think about going through the ages of time and what's the difference between Cain and Abel. I mean, here Cain's born into the world, and his own mother said, I've got a man from the Lord. But what was Cain? Cain was a child of the wicked one. He refused to obey God's command to bring the right sacrifice. Cain wasn't a worse person than Abel. He far as a man, because both of them are sinners. But I'll tell you this, Cain didn't bring the right sacrifice. He brought the offering of his own hands, and God rejected it. And God still rejects anything man does to try to accept himself with God. See the difference between Cain and Abel. They was born and got in the same family, but one offered up the offering of his hand, and Abel, amen, God brought the first one of his flock, was a blood sacrifice, a type of Christ, and God accepted that. He said that it was a more excellent what sacrifice, thank God, than that what Cain offered to God. And when you this morning, thank God, thinks that I'm good enough, or what I do is good enough, then you'll fall short, amen, and you will not be accepted by God. In fact, God, listen, God accepted his sacrifice. That's what he said. He didn't say, well, Abel's a good person. Abel offered the right sacrifice. That's the only thing God accepts, is what he gives. And listen, God, through the times, friend, look at Ishmael and Isaac. Amen. Isaac was a chosen son. God said, you're going to have a son, told Abraham and Sarah that. But listen, it didn't happen when they thought it ought to happen. And Sarah told Abraham to go into Hagar, which was her handmaid. And brethren, listen, thank God, he did, and she brought forth Ishmael, which was a wild man. He was against every man. Amen. Far as I know today, thank God, Ishmael never was a righteous man. Thank God, but Isaac was, and Isaac was chosen in God. Amen. Brought Isaac into the world through Abraham and Sarah, praise God, when they were old age, well stricken in years, and here he comes. Amen. And God used this young man. His name means laughter or joy at his birth. And remember, thank God, Abraham took him to the mount and was to offer him up as a sacrifice. Amen. And of course, when he pulled the knife out and got to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, God said, no, don't do it. He said, Abraham, Abraham, thank God, you don't have to offer him now. You didn't withhold him from me. He was the son, friend. Listen, God brought that ram in the thicket, and he slew the ram, and God, in place of Isaac, which is a type of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so it's always been that way. Amen. Listen, you can go through this Bible, and there'll always be, amen, one side and another side. That's just the way God set it up. Amen. Listen, there's sin and there's a Savior. There's grace. Amen. Listen, thank God, and brethren, I'm telling you, there's condemnation. And listen, I'd be under the condemnation of God this morning had he not gave me grace, had he not reached me with grace, had he not come to me with grace. I'd be going to hell as fast as you are if you lost this morning. And brethren, listen, everybody that's lost will, amen, find the judgment of God to be real, because he said the unbeliever, the wrath of God abideth on him. He said he's condemned already. Christ didn't come to condemn man, he come to save man. And condemnation sets on the sinner this morning. Condemnation sets on them without God. And brethren, you'll never escape it unless you come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the blood's what God chose. It's not just my friend, amen. Listen, it's got to be bloodshed. That's the only way. That's God's institution in for the human race. It's amazing to me how that God used the blood through the Old Testament and the blood through the New Testament. And even before Jesus left, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood, amen, that will be shed for the remission of many. And the blood, thank God's what brought forth, amen, the remission of sin. The only thing that God accepts for forgiveness is his son's blood that's been applied to the sinner's heart. And you'll never, listen, you'll never be in the presence of God without the blood applied to your life. It's got to be. There's no other way about it. Thank God. You say, how's that happen? By faith. That's the only way, faith in Christ. Amen. The action of God comes through spirit power and applies the blood, thank God, in the position of Christ unto you this morning. That makes you a new creature. That makes you accepted in the beloved. Because there would be no good. Listen, God saves bad people. Amen. He don't save good people. There's no good people anyhow. Amen. Listen, why would God, amen, bypass somebody that, amen, listen, that would be good in the eyes of man, and brethren, come to a man, ain't God that's bad. Amen. It's amazing to me how that God, amen, saves sinners. You got to get to be a sinner. That's the only way you can be saved. You can compare yourself with any man in this world, and you can make yourself look good, but you're not good. You're in bad shape. Amen. Listen, depravity means I'm totally corrupt. I have no good in me. I'm a sinner. Amen. That's who he came to save. And the worse you see yourself, the better off you are. Amen. If you can hang on to a little goodness, if you can say I'm good enough or I'm all right, I do the best I can. Thank God, friend. That's the attitude of my friend, of a Pharisee and a self-righteous person. But if you never get to the place like that publican did and said, God be merciful, me a sinner. Amen. Brother, that's when he'll justify you. Amen. But you can't get there on your own. You're born a Pharisee. Amen. You're born self-righteous. It takes sometimes a long time to get somebody to the end of their self and to see what they really are. Amen. It's not coming up here making a profession that'll change the position. It's Christ getting in you that'll change the position. It's not where I pray, it's who I pray to. And God is him this morning. And I tell you, friend, the more I read this Bible, it's a mystery. It really is a mystery. I tell you, there's been so many religions in this world that's come up with their formality or their ritual, or they say this or say that. But brother, there ain't nothing like that in a salvation. It's completely a person. Amen. It's not us. It's him. And you're going to have to see how bad you are. And if you ever get under the convicting work of God, he'll show you just about how you are. I remember when God, amen, showed me how bad I was. I tell you, he stripped me from everything. He took me down as being stripless. He took me down, thank God, from anything I thought that I was good enough in. And he'll do that to you too. And God, there ain't nothing. Brother, listen, God has to show a man how sinful and how corrupt he really is. And when he gets that, thank God, he knows right fast that he needs the Lord. Amen. Listen, brother, that's the way he done it for me. Thank God, he showed me who I was. And still this morning, I see that. Oh, what a day, brother. Listen, thank God to see what I was before the holiness of Christ, before the holiness of God, and look at myself and say, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. That's what I had to say. I seen that, brother. Listen, I seen as I'm going to hell, friend. If a man don't see he's going to hell, where's he think he's going to? Amen. We live in a fairy tale land. Nobody goes to hell no more. What was hell made for? The devil and his angels. But brother, there's as much about this Bible, amen, that listen, and I don't like preaching on this because the reason I got to get more broken about it, but I like telling the truth, and I'm telling you, listen, there's a hell in this Bible, friend, and there's a reality of it, amen. There's not much said about it no more. Nobody don't think about facing God. They're deluded in their own mind, and the Bible says yet God shall send a strong delusion. Amen. That delusion's in the minds of people even today, because they don't believe in hell no more. The majority of Baptist church members, they do not believe in hell. They do not believe that God will judge sin. Listen, think about this. God judged sin in his own son. He hung on a cross 6 hours, was punished, beaten. Hey, God, my friend, forsaken, spit on, cursed. A bunch of perverts went by him and tried to look at him. And brother, that's right. But he endured the cross and he died for sin once. Are you telling me that a man that baptizes what his son done and he's going to enter heaven? You're deceived this morning. You're deceived if you think that. I don't care who it is. You're deceived. You're misled if you think the God of heaven is going to ever accept anybody outside of Jesus and the death of Calvary. He can't do it. Why did he die, Brother Danny? He died that we could go. God have mercy. I wouldn't give you a dime for anybody that meets together this morning that believes in anything outside or adding to the Lord Jesus Christ. The formalities of religions corrupted the church. Traditions have corrupted the church. I'm going to say some things, and I'll be mature enough to take what I'm saying. I'm trying to help you.
Go ahead, bro.
Yes, sir. We're ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
That means we represent Him.
Right.
Now, when I go out of here, I know I understand that I'm a part of this body, and I do represent what this body is, but brethren, it's all about Christ. It's not about the body. It's about the head of the body.
Right. Yes, sir.
And I want to throw this out. I mean, I know people can run with it. People think that I'm trying to. Amen. Listen, I believe you ought to be. Thank God, if you're part of a local body, you ought to be faithful to it. But your utmost faithfulness is to the head of the body. But Brother Keith, I say this to you. I think I said something. Get a hold of what I'm trying to preach to you as a minister of the gospel. That if your uncle called you, we just have a meeting at 15 to 6 or 6 o'clock, and your uncle called you 20 minutes and said, I need you to come over and have prayer with me. That's what you ought to do. You're not bound to a time. You're not bound to a building. You're bound to Christ. And the thing of it is, when you come under that thing and you say, this man needs prayer, this man needs help, and I need to go give him the word and minister to him, that's exactly what God wants. We're bound to a building in this day, and it's bondage. It's bondage when you can't follow the Holy Ghost. And that's what's happened to the church. We tried to fill the church by inviting everybody, and I think we ought to do it, invite people to hear the preaching. But the problem ain't that. The problem is Christ. We're not telling them about Christ. We're not telling them about God. Son Jesus. And the problem is, in this hour is, we've got more churchianity than we do Christ, and that's why people's going to hell today. I don't give you, listen, if somebody joins the church, that's good. I praise God for it. But you're already in the body once you get saved. But you know why people, I'm going to tell you, Brother Keith, We've made this salvation a religion of the place that we're trying to get people to do something that the Holy Ghost of God ain't even in. And they'll say, this is what people say, boy, we had a big crowd today. What's that mean? You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for God in somebody. I ain't counting how many people say, I'm looking for God in somebody. That's what I'm looking for. Thank God if you can get that prayer this morning, that good little testifying there. That's what I'm looking for. I ain't counting heads. I'm looking for God in somebody. People say, well, how many you have? What's that got to do with it? It ain't mine anyway, it's his. I'm looking for God in somebody.
That's what I'm saying. I'm looking for God. If I can find God, thank God out here. Thank God in the parking lot testifying. I'm looking for God in somebody. That's the only thing that's going to edify me. And that's the problem in this day and time. The problem in this day and time that we've made this salvation a church entity, and it's not to be that way. It's a Christ. It's Christ. That's where it's at. I struggle with this. I'm just preaching my heart. I struggle with the fact of formality. And not letting the Holy Ghost have complete liberty to do what he wants to do. Because brother, when the end of the day is, this brother here right here, if the Holy Spirit come through and testify you, you know what he's going to say? Boy, it's good to be there. But if we just go through the formality of religion and the formality of services and the formality of all this, you know what you're going to say? Well, there were some good things done, but it wasn't in your heart. You see what I'm saying? That's why people are dying without God, because we don't have a burden. It's more, we need to go do this and tell this instead of the Holy Spirit using us to do that.
Yes.
It's a Holy Ghost work. It ain't my work. It's God, friend. And listen, the reason the church, amen, is not being an ambassador because they don't see the need to represent him the way Christ represented the Father and the Holy Ghost come to testify Christ. And we're to testify Christ because he's in us. And brethren, listen, thank God that my friend, it's more important to know you're saved and know Christ. Say, well, I ain't a member of that church. What's that got to do with it? A lot of that stuff ain't even in the Bible. We gonna vote. Where's that in the Bible? Ain't no voting in the Bible. The Holy Ghost, he said they was of like mind. They done everything as one body. And that's when that body functions. That's when that Spirit of God gets in that place. And that's when people start seeing the need for Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not just, this is Preacher Heights Church and this is so-and-so. This ain't my church. It's God's church. He put me in the church. When I got saved, he put me in the church. I've had a desire, brother, listen, since I got saved in 1983, I got called in here in 89. Listen, I wanted to be together with you because I love you. It ain't about God going to punish me if I don't come. It's because I love you. That's why I come. But the thing of it is, we've turned this thing, my friend, into the commandments of men, and it's not to be that way. Thank God, like at the early church, amen, they enjoyed living for him.
Yeah, right.
It ain't about what color shirt you got on and what kind of garments you thank God you're going to prove. I think you ought to look decent, but listen, it's about what's in your heart. If you ain't got nothing in your heart, everybody saved in here, I'll at least testify once a month. Got the lock, y'all. Anybody got a word for the Lord? Well, you testify. See, the thing about it is, if you're saved, you ought to at least testify. God have mercy. If I took this wood out, there ain't no sacredness to it. Listen, I understand you. We need to respect and give honor to God as we meet together. But there's no more sacredness in this wood than it is that wood and there is in that wood. That's just talk. By the sacred desk, this ain't no sacred desk. It's a sacred God.
Right.
When you get a hold of that, you'll see the fact of it is that this, God have mercy, these things is not sacred. They were in the Old Testament because they took the things out of the temple and misused them. We are the temple now. These ain't sacred. You could put the money on the bench if that's what you want to give. It don't have nothing to do with it. We've lost the power of God in our churches. Because I'm going to tell you why it's winding down the way it is. Because we got to promote things all the time. And we got to have things all the time. Amen. Instead of this Jesus and preaching the word or whatever God wants us to do. And therefore people die lost without God because a friend, the church, amen, don't have no power in it because it's going through emotion. And it's still the Holy Ghost. And there's freedom in the Holy Ghost. But there's bondage in religion. And it don't never change nothing.
Right.
This is what people say. We had a good service. You ever heard anybody come in and say, boy, I had a good service this morning down at the house. I had a good service before I came. Ain't that right? I had reading in the scripture. Me and God met together. Now I'm with the assembly. And thank God I can add to that because, praise God, the Holy Spirit of God's in me. God have mercy. And I'm going to tell you, this is the reason. Brothers, we've missed the boat. We've missed the boat. There's been so many things preached and said that's not biblical truths that deliver men from sin. And the thing of it is, if men go to hell, it'd be because I'm telling you, they're already under condemnation. They're already under the damnation, amen, that they're going to face, friend. Because, listen, they're unbelievers. That's what kills a man. That's what keeps a man from God. Yes, listen, the sin, I know it's sin, but the sin because they believe not on me. That's the first thing conviction sets in on. Amen. Because he came to convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. For the saving of a soul, what in the world am I doing? I have to ask myself that. They bring these good boys into the house of God here. They trying to do something for God. At least every once in a while, praise God. We want to say something to them. Try to encourage them. Why would anybody want my God? I wonder that. Why would these boys want my God? Why would these boys want your God? Why did Ruth want Naomi's God? I'm going to tell you why. Because she's seen her God in her. And it wasn't an act on Sunday morning. It was a life that she lived. And I'm going to tell you this, Brother Keith. The only way, and I know it's the Holy Spirit of God, and I know it's the workings of God, but he does work through his people. When's the last time? And you can't work up a burden. You just can't say, I can say we need to have a burden. You can't work up a burden. You can't work that up. It's got to be a God-given thing. But the thing of it is, our heart needs to be in position to have the burden. Because I'm telling you what, if these young people and these older people in this meeting this morning, if the Holy Ghost of God don't deal with them, they'll never get in. Do you see the do you really see the hour we're in? I mean, I'm talking about the hour we in. Do you really see the hour we in? That we can say back in the 90s and the early 2000s, we saw some people get saved and there was a stirring of God and the Holy Ghost was in the midst. Amen. And he still is because he's in us. And thank God for the blessings of God. The good, I thought about when you was teaching this morning, I thought, thank God, buddy. I'm going to tell you, that's good Bible teaching. I mean, that's just good Bible teaching. And the Brother Robert and you ladies and God's blessed us, son. I'm telling you, these people are grounded in the Word of God. They know it, friend. I'm telling you, these ladies and these men that handle the Word of God, that don't mean that they're perfect, but I'm telling you what, I ain't neither. But they know the Word of God. They know the Word of God. I believe I could preach anything to you that was truth, and about at least over half the people, amen, would eat it. You know why? Because God give it. That's right. And I'm trying, my whole desire say is to thank God to preach the Word, that the Word of God might get in us and teach the Word. Amen. That we might be fully mature in unity to do the work of God and see the faith of God. And brother, I love to see people come in and hear the gospel. But I'm telling you, until the church itself gets in a place, thank God, that they're hungry for God, why in the world would anybody want to come into a building when somebody don't want God? Listen, Mr. Buddy, he comes some. Miss Pat's husband, we know, I've known Buddy since I come here. He don't profess to be saved. But I'm going to tell you what, why would he want anything that everybody else is acting like him? If he just sits there and don't never see nobody testify, don't never hear nobody say amen, just sit there and nobody sings when we get up and sing, why should he look at something like that and say, well, I really would like to have that? He's got a good wife, got a godly wife. By our conversation, it speaks to his heart. He knows he needs God, amen. But the thing of it is, brother, God, listen, why did God put a church in the earth? He put it here, thank God, as his body to work and worship and do his will. And brother, I'm telling you, listen, when we get full of the Holy Ghost of God, there's got to be some movement, I'm telling you there is.
Sure.
There'll either be people get in or get out. That's a fact. Somebody said, wonder why them people didn't keep coming. I said, I guess they couldn't take it. I've seen that before. People come in, you get stirred up, and people get to shouting and praising God, and preaching gets rough a little bit if it ain't rough preaching, because you can't preach no rougher than what the Bible is. Amen. But listen, ain't God, people move on because they're looking for somebody to make them feel good instead of somebody preaching to them and letting them know that what God says in this book. But I tell you, brother, I'd be the first one to admit and raise my right hand and raise the other one. I'm not the best preacher. In fact, I don't even count myself in that number. But I tell you one thing, praise God, I've been born again, and I know what the book teaches, and I'll preach it, thank God, if God will help me, and the Holy Ghost will use it, and I know that, and the devil, he'll say, you ain't nobody being saved. I said, well, I don't do the saving. That's what I tell him. He said, you ain't nobody getting saved. I said, I don't do the saving. You know, you say, when's people going to get saved? When he saves them.
That's right.
But I tell you what, there ought to be a place of the atmosphere, the liberty of God that sinners can come into, and they hear the gospel, but they also see people loving the God that the preacher's preaching about.
That's right.
We can do this, praise God, at the house. That's right. We ain't have no house meetings. Y'all had any house meetings? I ain't had no house meeting. Me and my wife ain't had no house meeting lately. I mean, where I just say, let's have a good prayer and preach. You're the one sitting here, so I'll preach to you. We give a little bit here and there. Amen. I mean, she'd preach to me sometimes, if you call it preaching. Listen, I've been asking her things lately. Me and her really talk about different certain things, but I ask her. I want her thoughts on it.
Absolutely.
She's got a good mind in praying. She prays. Got a good mind about telling me what the Holy Spirit's told her. That's why I ask you. I'm not asking you questions, thank God, to try to stump you. I'm asking you questions that I might hear from God.
Yep.
Husbands and wives ought to do that. Men's got too much pride. I'm one of them. Sometimes they even ask their wife anything. Do you know the wife's got the tender spirit in them? More tender than us. They might have a tender mind right there toward that subject. I mean, where's our conversation? It's more about what's going on in our life than about our life with Christ. I told you I like sports. I don't watch it much no more because I get so aggravated and I get in the flesh, and because they just don't play the way I think they ought to play, and so I don't watch it. I'll glance at the score on my phone to see how it's going, but I don't watch it. I thought, no, I ain't gonna do it. So I don't do it. I hardly ever do it. I'll do it once in a while if I can not pull for nobody. The Holy Spirit said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Everything you look at is bringing into you. He said, you can say all you want to. You can pile up on Bible reading. You can pile up on praying. And you go do that. And he says, all you're doing is piling on top of that, and it ain't helping you. Why? Because I'm passionate about it. It wouldn't matter to me if I was watching a rodeo. Somebody riding a bull like you was talking about the other night. I'm hoping he can ride it, or I hope the bull throws him. I just don't watch it and say, well, that's all right. I've never been like that. Thank God, if you had a frog and another man had a frog, I'm pulling for one of you. Well, if you're racing somebody, I'm going to pull for you. But you might be racing Keith, then I have to pull for both of you. That's just the way life is. Somewhere along the line, we've got to go further in this thing and get some help from above and know it's God that does it. But the thing of it is, if the church don't get involved in it, listen. That's why I don't like being on this internet sometimes. Can't say everything I'd like to say because I know some people hear it. Church ought not never be dead. Church ought not never be dead. Never. You ought not never come in. Right. And we'll say, and this is what you'd say. Boy, that was a dead service. Yeah. I've said it. Yeah. I've told my wife on the way home before. I said, man, I'm telling you what. That's pretty dead. It ought not be, though. And ain't a thing I can do about it sometimes. Right. There ain't a thing. You can't resurrect something sometimes. I don't care who you are. You, Jessica, you know you've been in it all your life. I mean, you've been there and you know you wrote home with daddy and said, boy, that was dead. I mean, I have. I told my wife that before. Glory to God. Yep. You have too. You've thought that.
Right.
You thought it in your own mind. You ain't nobody here who's been in church somewhere, ain't got a while and had not thought when they got in their car after they left and said, why? Well, they said, so dead. I'll tell you why. Because we ain't giving life in it. He is the life. Sometimes some services are better than others. You ever wonder why you could have a good meeting on Sunday morning, come back on Sunday night, and you think, what happened? Now, I'm going to answer that. You listen to me. You're going to have to believe what I'm telling you. Because God ordered it for Sunday morning. Everything I believe is in my heart. I want to have my heart prepared and I want to be right and I want to get in with it. But I'm telling you, there's going to be sometimes he just ain't going to have the fish on the grill. And if he ain't sovereign, then I'm telling you, we don't have a God. He's sovereign. And he does as he pleases. And son, he can pull up right beside you, thank God. Amen. Anytime he wills to do it. I know he's in you. I know people say, well, he's in me. I know he is. But there's a something about God meeting with his people. Thank God, just in the purity of his own power and heart and loving us. Thank God, my friend. And brother, that happens, I'm telling you, but there's times it don't happen. I know. You think about the days you live in now. They ought to be happy days, really, I mean. But there's days it's not happy. There's days that you don't enjoy. It's not God's fault, but it's just the human nature you have. I just want to say this and I'm through this morning. There's always two sides. There's always. Gonna be. There's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. And you'll have to have him. And if you don't have him, you need him. I'll tell you that this morning. Let's pray. Father, use the word. I know it's been scattered. God, it's just what's on my heart. And God, I pray the church would grab hold of it. And God, it's you and I am in your church. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd help me. I need it. God of heaven, I need it. Lord, I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go through formalities. I don't want to. I don't want it. I'd rather have your anointing. I'd rather have your presence. I'd rather have your touch. I'd rather have God, these young people get in with God, Lord, to do something for them. God, I know in time, Lord, you have a time when a child's born in this world. God, you got a time, God, when they're born into the family of God, Lord. And I pray, God, there'd be a place, God, here that they could come and hear from God and have liberty to worship and, God, have the anointing of God in the service. Oh, God, bless it, Lord. Stir our heart. God, help us. Oh, God, help me, Lord. God, to seek you. God, to pray, to find your will. God, to follow your will and your word. And God, be faithful to it. God, there's some here this morning. God's cold in their heart. God, they hadn't had a visit from you lately. And God, they're cold. God, some's lukewarm, Lord, this morning. And God, maybe a few hot for you, Lord. But God, you said you'd rather for people to be hot or cold than to be lukewarm. God, I pray you'd help me. God, I don't want to be. I don't want to be, Lord. God, I've sought you. God, and I've asked you, God, to help me. And God, help your people this morning. God, to seek you. And God, to look to you. And God, you know what they need. God, they need a move of God on them, Lord. God, they need something done in their heart, Lord. And God, you're the only one that can.
Amen. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd do something for them. Help them this morning that's sick. Help them, God, going through physical affliction. Help Brother Parker this morning. God, I pray for him. God, please touch him. Oh, God. Oh, God, help him, Lord. Help your people. Encourage, strengthen, set them in the faith, Lord. God, give them grace. God, help them, Lord, manifest your power, God. Oh, God, help us to pick one another up. God, help us. God, you said two's better than one because of one of us fall. God, we got somebody to help us up. And God, I pray, Lord, this morning, God, that you'd help us up. God, help your people, strengthen them. God, bless these. God, this morning, God, or this here, God, with your power and your presence, bless, I pray. And God, trust you now, Lord, with the word. God, do what you want to. Encourage your people. God, let them not. God, warn, fight against it. God, oppose it. But God, help them to grab it and go with it and do the will of God. And Lord, thank you for them has come this day. God, bless them for it. And God, we'll thank you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.